All right, our subject today is on the role of the Holy Spirit, really, in biblical counseling. And when Paul came to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, he found some people there who, verse 1 says, were claiming to be disciples. And Paul looked at their lives, and he must have noticed that there was something that was missing. Just didn't seem to add up that these people who were claiming to be disciples were really disciples of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 2, he asked them a very interesting question. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And of course, they gave a very surprising answer to that question. They said in verse 4, that we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at that, I think it should prompt us to ask two questions. One is, if the Apostle Paul were here, and he had an opportunity to watch us in our lives, would he ask us the same question? In Romans 12 and verse 2, the Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world. Would he look at our lives and see that we are so conformed to this world that he would wonder if we really had received the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 4:17, of course, says that we are not to walk as unbelievers walk in the futility of our minds. Well, would he see us walking as unbelievers walk and say, I wonder if they really have received the Holy Spirit? This passage over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, is extremely challenging for us. In that passage, in essence, Peter says that before you became Christians, you spent enough time living according to the lusts of men. He says you lived according to the lust of men. You didn't live for the will of God. And he says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desired of the Gentiles or unbelievers. You pursued a course of sensuality. You lived a feeling-oriented kind of life. You lived to satisfy your own lusts and desires. And he goes on to talk about drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. He says, enough of that. You're Christians now. And you ought to be different. And so would the Apostle Paul, as well as Peter, wonder if we had received the Holy Spirit, if he saw us and recognized that in many ways we're living just as unbelievers live? Or another question would be, after observing our ministerial efforts, would he be convinced that we are depending on and ministering in the power of the Spirit? Or would he say, well, from what I observe, you're ministering in the power of the flesh. Now, if Paul were to ask some professing Christians today that question, I suspect that none of them would give the exact same answer that the Ephesians did. I mean, they would probably say, yeah, we know about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born of the Spirit of God, and they could tell you about what happened in Luke 1 and Luke 1, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, they could tell you that he is the third person of the Trinity. They could probably tell you something about Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit came upon them. They probably would tell you something about that they've heard something about the filling of the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit, etc. But unfortunately, apart from knowing some general Bible facts about the Holy Spirit, the way that many professing Christians live and the way they minister is not all that different from the way that many unbelievers live and minister. Now, according to John MacArthur, in his book on the Holy Spirit, which is called The Silent Shepherd, we as believers make two errors in reference to the Holy Spirit. He says that on the one hand, the charismatic movement is obsessed with the Holy Spirit, tending to focus all doctrine and worship on Him exclusively. The danger with an undue stress on the gifts and leading of the Holy Spirit is that personal experience is often elevated over the objective truth of Scripture. On the other hand, many non-charismatics tend to ignore the Holy Spirit altogether. Perhaps weary of the controversy, confusion, and subjectivity of the charismatic movement, too many have responded by going to the opposite extreme. They simply avoid the Holy Spirit in their teaching and study. And on top of that, popular evangelicalism as a whole has shifted in recent generations from God-centered ministry to a man-centered approach. Pragmatism rules. The churches are run as a business. The gospel is often viewed as a product for marketing. Spiritual problems are dealt with by psychological means. In short, man-centered ministry virtually operates as if the Holy Spirit were unnecessary. John says both errors are spiritually debilitating. If we misunderstand the role of the Holy Spirit, or if we ignore the Spirit altogether, how can we comprehend what it is to walk in the Spirit? There is no aspect of Christian living that is not governed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can ill afford either to misconstrue or ignore His role. To do so is to short-circuit our sanctification. That's exactly what happens when believers turn to legalism, charismatic mysticism, and psychology as they have today. The solution to the problems of the church today is to solve the individual Christian's problems, and the solution to those problems is a person, the Holy Spirit. He is the antidote for every error, the power for every weakness, the victory for every defeat, and the answer for every need. And He is available to every believer, for He lives in his heart and life. The answer and power have already been given to us in the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, John MacArthur says that we err in two ways. For one, we misunderstand and misapply His role in our lives and ministries. And we are all aware of certain segments of the Christian church and ministry that do that kind of thing. On the other hand, we err on the side of ignoring and neglecting His role in our lives and in our ministries. Now, in either case, whether we ignore or whether we misunderstand, the consequences of erroneous ideas about the Holy Spirit are disastrous. John says, quote, to do so is to shortcut our sanctification, and I would add, it is to sabotage our ministry. That's me adding. It is to sabotage our ministry to people. I believe John MacArthur is absolutely right that if we neglect the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our ministries, we're sabotaging our sanctification, and we're also sabotaging our ministry to people. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul makes it crystal clear that errors concerning the role of the Holy Spirit are extremely serious. He had some very strong things to say to these Galatians about their errors. And in chapter 3, he says, you foolish Galatians, that's pretty strong, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? There's our word foolish again. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? Do you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? He says, all right, you began by the Spirit. That's how your Christian life began. And now that you've become Christians, are you now trying to perfect your spiritual lives by the flesh? And of course, he's implying that they are. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he talks about the deeds of the flesh. And then he contrasts that with the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is not immorality, impurity. It's not factiousness and divisiveness. It's not outbursts of anger. It's not envying. It's not drunkenness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace,